Hi, everybody. It's Jim Baekhyai. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Today, I'm going to talk about the imposter syndrome. Everybody knows what the imposter syndrome is that feeling that people don't really know who you are and that you're playing a role. And my nephews in Ottawa, as I was moving up through my career, actually, they used to say to me, you know, those people figured out who you really are because they keep giving you these promotions and so on and so on and so on. And there was some real truth to that. You know, I always had this nagging sort of imposter feeling. And I don't mean imposter like I wasn't being genuine, but I think everybody that works tries to adjust themselves, want to be seen a little better. And because they're all afraid that, you know, maybe if they won't like me, that maybe they won't value me if they know who the me is, when they should really be thinking about, well, if they don't value me and they don't like me, then maybe I shouldn't be here. And, you know, I had a recent experience yesterday with a client who was talking about having met with a board member. He said to me, you know, I was trying to be very careful about being politically correct. And he kept asking me my ideas. I was trying to wonder what he was looking for. And I said, well, why didn't you waste all that time? Why didn't you just tell him what you thought? If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. And, you know, what's going to happen? But what if you're doing all that dancing and what he really wants to know is the stuff that you really think? So I thought it was timely, given that, you know, during this pandemic, a lot of people are going to have already lost their jobs. And as the restructuring goes on and people use this accelerated opportunity to trim the fat, gonna be a lot of people, you know, a lot of age groups that are gonna, you know, lose their jobs. And for some people, you know, if you're older, you may have only had one job all your life, and now, you know, sort of now what? And if you're young, you may have only had one job all your life because you're so young, and you haven't gotten into the second, third, and fourth job, which, you know, sort of people predict that you're gonna get seven or eight jobs in a lifetime, and you actually don't really know who you are, right? And you've kind of lived this life, and all of a sudden you're thrust back out into the workforce to interview, and you know that famous question, right? So tell me about yourself. It strikes fear and freezes people in there, you know, right in that moment when someone says, "So tell me about yourself." And you're like, "Oh my God! Like, what do I say? Do I want to talk about the job? They want to talk about me personally, and you don't have anything." And the reason you don't have anything is because you don't really know who you are, and you don't really know what that value is. So I think it's especially if during this period of time, you know, you're losing your job, you've lost your job, or you're in anticipation of losing your job. I think it's really important to address the imposter syndrome and to be upfront and honest about yourself, not sort of sales approachy, but educate approach. Like, who am I? Like, what are my skills? You know, I go back to the infomercial. I always go back to the infomercial because, you know, I was out yesterday with a friend of mine playing golf, and we were talking about the infomercial, and he said, you know, it all circles back. I said, everything starts and ends with the infomercial. And I said, it starts with the ability to tell someone what they should pay you for, what's your value, kind of people you work best with, and how I resolve conflict and what a perfect day is. And it's not rocket science, but it helps you deal with that imposter syndrome. And I've said on many occasions, and I've probably said in the podcast as well, you know, I spent a lifetime professionally of being an imposter. You know, people thought that they saw the real me, but never always being afraid to be the full-on real me because of the impact of it. And the irony was, I got fired twice. I might not have if I'd been the real me, or it might have accelerated the firing, which would have been okay too, because it would have forced me to come to terms with who the real me was and finding a place where the real me was wanted and needed. I now get paid to be me. I don't hold back. I am who I am, and I recognize that there are people that value that person and the advice that that person delivers. And the more me I am, the more business I get from the right places. Sure, there's lots of people that will never deal with me. There's lots of people that don't want me. I'm okay with that. Not up to me to figure out why you don't want me, why you don't like me. Like relationships, like it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And there's no sort of why, you know, why don't you like me? You know, why don't you need me? You know, what is it I can do to make you like me? Like, stop that. Just stop it. Just learn to be yourself and accurately be able to express who you are, what your skills are, what they should pay you for, kind of place. And you will find that it is an incredibly confident place to work from. I think you've listened to a number of podcasts of mine and some of the people that have been on the podcast, and you know, they all typify, be you, the world will adjust. So earlier in the year, Katie and I recorded the imposter syndrome. The pandemic hit. We didn't think it was really, you know, everybody was in a complete tizzy and still are, and we didn't think it was the right time to record it. But then we were sort of reflecting back. Many of the points in the imposter syndrome podcast that we did are still relevant today. And in fact, I think they're always relevant. But we thought that, you know, going into Labor Day, people thinking, people losing their jobs, people potentially losing their jobs, it might be able to help you think about yourself and think about how to address your future. And so enjoy. And I hope that at the end of this podcast, and if you follow the directions, that you can take some comfort in knowing who you are and that there is someone that wants you. There is someone that needs your skills, but they don't know that they need you and want you if they don't know who you are. Not the imposter, but who you are.
Imposter syndrome. Do you have it? Do you feel it? Do you often wonder if people actually really know who you are, or you just feel that I'm not worthy? I'm sort of pretending, and people don't actually really know that, you know, I'm not quite up to this job, or I am up to this job and nobody quite recognizes it. It's an interesting thing because I talk to lots of people about it, and I'm actually surprised at how often people feel that way, you know, and it's almost like denying their own success, denying their own capabilities, and letting themselves be defined by the rest of the world. And I think that historically that's how we've all been raised, and I know I spent a lot of time talking about how we've been raised, but it does have a massive imprint on us, and you know, how the world sees us. And many cultures are very, very, it's very important, you know, face and how people see you, and this, and you should be this and you should be that. And I know I'm going counterculture and counterintuitive, and I can see the fear in people's faces when I coach them. And I sort of say to them, like, it's okay if they don't give you the job, you know, like don't worry. And they're like, no, you don't get it. And I said, no, I get it, but you can't let yourself be defined by somebody else. And I think that that took a long time for me to do that. I spent an entire lifetime, combination of the immigrant syndrome. I mean, I got to be president of Wood Gundy, but even when I was president of Wood Gundy, I sort of was like, I'm not really worthy of this. Like, I'm not, you know, I didn't see myself in those terms. And what was amazing to me was, you know, the number of people that sent me notes and congratulations. And it was so much more important to them, right? That the fact that I had climbed to that title, and I just didn't see it in that same way. And you know, and oftentimes when I'm coaching people and they lose their jobs, I said, and one of the best things that's happened to you is that you are no longer defined by your job or by your company. And I said, so it's no longer Jim Baikyai Wood Gundy, Jim Baikyai CIBC, Jim Baikyai Bank of Montreal. It's just Jim Baikyai. And that's a scary prospect. But born out of that, many great entrepreneurial opportunities come out of that. And because people end up taking stock. And, you know, in this day and age, comparison to when I sort of came out of school, I mean, you were either, you know, going to law school, medical school, become an accountant or an engineer. There must have been another one. But as my mother said, if it's not one of those four, then you're basically a loser. You know, so we all sort of naturally gravitated. But today in the world that we're in, there's so much more opportunity for people to really be themselves. And the more people can understand that I'm not going to let other people define me, the more comfortable they feel. And the other part about it is through that defining yourself more and more and more, it enables you to look at the world and you be in control and say, no, that's not for me. Or I'm going to pursue that avenue because that's more like who I am. But I think that, unfortunately, we've sort of been trained and raised to do the scattergun approach, right? Just fire across an entire spectrum, see what hits the wall, and sort of think about it afterwards, whether we actually really like it or not, not do all that work up front. And so when you let things happen to you in terms of your career, in terms of your opportunities, it's pretty easy. Like, you work a couple of years, you get a promotion, you get a different job, different things like that. But at no point in time are you actually thinking, is this what I want to do, right? Or is this moving fast enough, or is it moving slow? Too slow or too fast? And I know myself, you know, as I was going through an entire lifetime of fraud syndrome, imposter syndrome, I am not worthy. I just couldn't feel comfortable, right? I was sort of like, I've got to be this way, I've got to be that way. And, geez, if I'm really myself, you know, I mean, who's going to like me? Who's going to want to hire me? And it was a tough way to live. And I think that, you know, just given my own experience in the tons of people that I've coached, it really exists out there and exists with a lot of people. And part of my challenge, and it happens to exist, you know, I find, because most of my practice is women that I coach, I find it's even more prevalent in women. They're trying to be someone that they think that they should be. And I've had this conversation with many of the women that I coach, and you know, fear of how people may see them, and trying to second guess and outguess, both for men and women, is you need one constant. The one constant is you. This is what I look like. This is who I am. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm not good at. And as long as you have one constant in the equation, then all the other variables can spin around that. And you will find the right opportunity for you. And you will come to a point in time where you'll say, I'm not a fraud, and I don't feel like a fraud, and I am true to myself. And I can tell you, it took me a long, long time. And one of the reasons I work with a lot of young kids as well is because I want to circumvent that time for them. I don't feel like that anymore. I know my value. I know what I'm doing. I don't let anybody define me. I have people who have said to me, I don't want you to coach me. And I'm like, okay. You know, and they're, well, wouldn't you like to know why? And I said, I don't need to know why. By telling me why, you think that I might change what I'm going to do or who I am, but I know who I am. I know what value I bring. I just need to find the people that recognize that they want who I am and what I bring to the table. And there's no point in me trying to convince them, oh, you know, well, you should look at it this way. You know, I'm better than that person. That person's not as good as it. Like, it's just not about that. And it's, I think when you can get to that point, it's unbelievably comfortable, and it's unbelievably rewarding on a personal basis. There's an incredible amount of energy caught up in not being yourself. So my tip for the week is, who are you? Like, who are you really? And if I was to ask a whole bunch of people around where you work or around you, would your definition of you be the same one as theirs? And if they're inconsistent, you have to ask yourself the question, why? And the second part of that is, what am I going to do about it? Thank you very much. See you next week.